Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
I'm going to start in Philippians 3. And I'm going to start just partway through Philippians 3, verse 3, and read down a little bit. And we'll stop and comment along the way, and we'll eventually get to where we're going to, hopefully. Paul says, "We are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." It's really important to understand that he was making a distinction between the Jews, because there were... This is the book of Philippians, and he's always having to deal with what they call Judaizers. Judaizers were these sort of false apostles that were going out and trying to put the new Gentile Christians under the Jewish law, and part of that was this rite of circumcision. So they were sort of pushing the new Christian believers to follow this, and Paul is saying that's gone now, that's done. Jesus was the completion of that. So he says, we don't have any confidence in the flesh. So no matter how you cut your flesh, no matter what you do to your flesh, no matter what tattoos you wear, holes you put in your body or whatever, it has nothing to do with this faith that we follow, right? It says, we rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. He says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anybody else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Paul's saying, if anybody had confidence in the flesh because of what his achievements were, because of what his religious achievements were, there's nobody that even compared to him. But he says, I don't even take any confidence at all in my achievements in the flesh, my religious achievements. Okay? And then he goes on to alliterate those achievements. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. That means he was a Pharisee. He was a licensed minister. Concerning zeal, I persecuted, persecuting the church. He was so zealous for Israel, he was the first guy out there bringing Christians in, throwing them in jail, having some of them killed. He stood and held the coats as Stephen was stoned to death. I mean, he was a Pharisee, a Jew of Jews, and there was something called Christianity that was messing up their Jewish religion, their customs. And he was going to do everything in his power to stop it till Jesus got a hold of him. He said, persecuting the church concerning righteousness, which is the law, I was blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. My master's degree, my PhD, I counted it, my Pharisee PhD, I count as rubbish. All of my Jewish accomplishments, I count them as rubbish. Um, here somewhere. That I may gain, Christ. I count him as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. You're not saved because you're a good person. God didn't think you were a good guy, good gal, and said, I think I'll save him. He's such a good person. As a matter of fact, he saved you for the opposite reason, because we're not good people. We needed saving. And that beautiful Jesus Christ, the most beautiful of all human beings who ever lived, took the punishment of the whole world, took the wrath of the whole world upon his own body, was beaten, was stripped naked, was beaten, was mocked, was treated with the utmost contempt, carried a cross, his own cross up a hill, and was mercilessly killed, murdered, God in the flesh for you and me. Not because you're good, because he's good. Not because we're good, it's because he's good. It's not because we're good, it's because he's good. That makes us want to be good, even though we're not so good at it. He says, yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered all things, loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. Why? All of this stuff, I count it all as rubbish. That I may know him. That I may know him. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul is asking that he could enter into the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. That I could enter into the, that I would be counted worthy to enter into the sufferings of Christ. Listen, when you find the best thing, when you find the best thing, you want to associate yourself completely with the best thing. Does that make sense to you? That I even want to know Jesus so much, I want to know what he was feeling when he was going through his sufferings. I'm going to throw this at you. I'm going to just leave this one with you. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Listen, they stuck dead Jesus in a grave, and the grave had to spit him out because the grave didn't have any charges on him. There was no sin in him. The devil had access to every human being. Once you're in death, baby, you're mine. Jesus enters into death and they spit him out. Death has to spit him out. He has to say, give me the keys. Devil, give me the keys. You got nothing on me. I'm out of here. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul the Apostle, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He said, if maybe I perhaps might obtain the resurrection from the dead. I mean, we got preachers today who walk around the stage like peacocks, talking about all the goodness. But where's humility? And here's Paul the Apostle saying, he's saying, I did all of this religious jazz, means nothing to me, that I may know Christ. That I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Where's the confidence? Where's the peacock? Where's the prosperity Christianity? The prosperity is resurrection from the dead, when you get to live forever. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. So you didn't get saved because you're smart. You didn't get saved because you're smart. You got saved because God laid hold of you. You're saved because God laid hold of you. You're saved because God laid hold of you. You think you're here because you're smart. You're not here because you're smart. You're here because God laid hold of you. And he said that I may accomplish the thing for which God laid hold of me. That I may lay hold of the thing for which God laid hold of me. Are you kidding me? That I may finish my mission. That I may complete the mission that God has for me on this planet. Because for everyone here and for everyone, in fact, in our town, in our county, in our world, God has a mission for you. I love this story about there was 400,000 people who worked for 10 years to send a man to the moon. And there was a janitor who was sweeping. And somebody asked him, you know, how is working for NASA as a janitor? He said, janitor? I'm not a janitor. He said, I'm not working as a janitor. I'm sending somebody to the moon. I'm sending somebody to the moon. I'm not a janitor. I'm sending somebody to the moon. I don't come to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. I'm bringing Jesus home. I'm saving my neighbor. I'm trying to lay hold of the thing for which Christ laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself apprehended. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. See, that's why we're focused forward. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. One thing I do. I've known pastors, and all they talk about is how hard they've had it in the past. Or they talk about their glory days of the past. Or they talk about their difficulties of the past. And they're living in the past. When Paul is saying, I forget what's behind me. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm moving forward. I'm not looking back. I've gotten my butt kicked. And we've had high highs. I've had some low lows. You know, I ain't living back there. I'm going forward. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. He said, if you don't agree with me, it's all right. God will reveal it to you. He said, I'm right. And if you don't agree with me, that's okay. God will reveal it to you. He recognizes it's not his job. It's a mouthpiece. Right? Nevertheless, to the degree that we have attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. The unity thing never goes away. Now I'm going to jump over to Galatians chapter 6. And it says, brothers, if anybody is caught up in a sin, you who are spiritual, that is you, this is from the Amplified Bible, you who are responsive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness. Somebody's caught up in a sin, you just don't ignore them, you don't gossip about them, you don't talk about them, you restore one in the spirit of gentleness. Not with a sense of superiority or self-righteousness. Keeping a watchful eye on yourself so that you are not tempted as well. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the requirement of the law of Christ. This really struck me when I read it a couple of weeks ago, because we always say we're not under the law. Well, it's true we're not under the Old Testament law. We're under the law of Christ. We are under the law. Oh, yes, you are under the law. You're under the law of love.
Loving God with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength and loving your neighbor as yourself. Don't tell me you're not under the law. Yes, you are. You're not under the Old Testament ceremonial law. You're under a higher law, the law of love. It's much harder than doing all those little, having those little blue threads and bells and whistles and ceremonies and feast days and all these kind of things they had. Much, much harder to walk in the law of Christ. For if anybody thinks he is something special, when he is in fact, he is nothing. Nothing. This is Amplified Bible. That's why I like it, because there's zingers in the Amplified Bible. He says, if anybody thinks he is something special, when in fact he is nothing special except in his own eyes. It's a little... says he deceives himself. But each one must carefully scrutinize his own work, examine his actions, attitudes, and behavior. And then he can have that personal satisfaction and inner joy of doing something commendable without comparing himself to someone else, to another. For every person will have to bear with patience his own burden of faults and shortcomings for which he alone is responsible. And it specifically cites three areas of examining oneself: actions, attitudes, and behaviors. And just quickly, actions, you know, the way you examine yourself. You ask yourself, are you a lawbreaker? Are you a gossip? Are you one who steals? Are you a jealous person? Are you competitive? Do you refuse to play by the rules? Are you a ridiculer? That's your actions. Your attitudes. Are you filled with fear? Are you filled with depression? Are you filled with anger? Do you have hatred? Do you have bigotry? Do you have lust? Those are your attitudes. Your behavior. Are you contentious? Are you argumentative? Are you duplicitous? That means that you have two minds. You act this way with this group and this way with this group. Are you duplicitous? Lazy. Do you disrespect the Lord's day? That's behavior. Do you disrespect the Lord's day? Do you stir up strife? Do you undermine legitimate authority? Actions, attitude, behavior. Examine yourself. Find out if those things exist in you and get rid of them. Or be working on getting rid of them. Matthew 6 now, from 22 through 24. Jesus speaking says, If the eye is the lamp of the body, if your eye is clear, if you're spiritually perceptive, your whole body will be full of light, benefiting from God's character. And that's why I always say, don't read your Bible. Let your Bible read you. Don't read your Bible. Because your Bible is not the book that tells you how you can judge me, how well you think I'm doing in my walk. The Bible is for you to judge yourself. You don't read your Bible, you let your Bible read you. Because you know what? You won't be happy when you do. Because you'll find out that it's not all that complimentary to our condition. But if your eye is bad, spiritually blind, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if you don't understand the perception of what the world is around us, you don't understand what God is trying to do. If you can't get some depth out of his word, your whole inner man is full of darkness. So if the very light inside of your inner self, your heart, your conscience is darkness, how great and terrible is that darkness? That means in the body of Christ, among the people of God, you're a danger. Because you can quote all, you know, you can do all this religious jazz and only have darkness in you. And that's a terrible darkness. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is your possessions and money and stuff like that. Can't serve two masters. You can't serve Jesus on the outside and be filled with darkness on the inside. You can't do it. So So this is what I was thinking. And I said a lot of that to get to this. This is a roadmap. This is likened to a roadmap. Now, we read the Bible, we learn the Bible, because we think we're all going to show up on Heavenly Jeopardy and play trivia in Heavenly Jeopardy. And who knows more scriptures, and who knows more theology, and who knows more doctrine than the next, when in fact, this is a roadmap. This is the thing that teaches us how to get where we're going. This book is here to show us, as a roadmap does, how to get where we're going. I don't need a roadmap to tell me where I've been. Young people don't know, maybe don't even know about roadmaps, but they used to have these things before they had GPS. And they were big, and you opened them up in the car and you tried to figure out where you were going. That's called what's called a road map. And some people would study road maps because it's fun to see where things are and, you know, to look at where places are. It's fun to read the Bible, to see where things are, to see how God was in this circumstance or that circumstance and all of that. But that's not really what the purpose of a roadmap is. A roadmap is to teach you how to get where you're going. Does that make sense? The definition of a roadmap: a map showing roads. That darn dictionary. A detailed plan to guide progress toward a goal is the second definition. You will remember where you have been, but a map shows you the way to go. Listen, if I've never been to, Hobart before, or the Roscoe Diner before, you know, there was a time when maybe you'd use a roadmap to get there, right? But after you know how to get there, you know how to get there. Once you know how to clean up your own act, you know how to clean up your own act. Once you know how to overcome a sin, you know how to overcome a sin. But don't forget, Jesus promised that demon is going to go through waterless places. It's going to spend some time out there in the desert, and it's going to come back and it's sniffing around to see if you've left that spot empty and not filled it with the things of God. Because if you haven't filled it with the things of God, he's coming back. And he's going to come back 7 times more powerful than he did the first time. So this thing about Jesus setting me free is great. I'd rather have Jesus keep me free. It feels good to get saved. I knelt down on a pallet in a print shop in Glens Falls. I said, God, will you fill me with your Holy Spirit? And every weight I've ever had in my life was lifted off my shoulders. I felt like I could have floated like a Thanksgiving Day balloon. Everything was perfect and wonderful and clean and clear and new. I'd been forgiven. I was loved. But it's staying that way, right? That's the challenge for which we need the roadmap. The roads I have taken help me become a better, more competent driver, but the map exists to be a written plan of how to get to my destination. There's several different routes you can take. We know this because of GPS. We can pick the fastest way, the most scenic route, right? Different ways you can take it. But the problem with God's word is you can fake it, but you can never take a shortcut. They know shortcuts. Either you're going to obey and you're going to submit, you're going to obey, or you're not. They know shortcuts. You know, and you can be a fraud because you faked it.
listen, your map will show you the way over mountains. It'll show you how to ford a river. It'll show you how to drive highways. It'll teach you city driving versus country driving. You know, we've got folks up here, our mountains up here, who've never driven in New York City, and they're afraid to. They're afraid. They don't want to drive in that city. There are places in the Bible we're afraid to go. We don't want to go to that place because we know that place poses a problem for us. So we're not just going to run down there and take a little ride around Manhattan and check out, you know, the scenery. Make sense? I remember we were going to out in California, Sequoia National Park, I think it is, and you're up in the Sierra Nevadas, and you're like this far off of cliffs. That was very uncomfortable on that road, you know, but it was a road that I have now traveled. Does that make sense? There are dangerous roads in our road of Christianity, in our future, getting to our destination. There are dangerous roads that we have to take. The dangerous road of learning how to do what our skit guys did, you know, in the funny skit, how to invite somebody to church, how to lead someone to the Lord, how to speak to that person about the things of God. Let us love Jesus. If anything be said of this place in this moment in history, in the year 2019, let it be said they love Jesus there. Those are the people who love Jesus. Those are the people that love Jesus. Those are the people who strove to get rid of their demons, to get the power of the Holy Spirit, to remove the rubble of former lives of sin and turn us into the children of God.
Hey guys, this is Jake Johnson coming to you from our On Fire radio studio. We pray this message has encouraged you. Maybe you're listening today and would say, Jake, I want to join this cause. How do I start? Well, I'll tell you, because of our sins, there's no way that we can make it to heaven on our own. But God did send Jesus, his son, to die for our sins. And Jesus said that if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. So pray with me today and begin a new life with God. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I believe you lived a perfect life and died on a cross as a sacrifice for my sins. I repent for my sins today, and I place my life in your hands. I give you all that I have, and I ask that you would cleanse me with your blood and fill me now with the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward today into a new life with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible. Download a free app on your phone. It's called YouVersion, the Bible app. You can start a Bible plan and start reading the Word of God. Start a prayer life and start spending time with God. And find a Bible-believing church. I want to take this time to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We're at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. We have church every Sunday at 10 a.m. and we would love for you to join us. Come find us and let us know that you've been listening to On Fire Radio. We would love to meet you. I'd also like to give you an opportunity in partnering with us. And if this word has ministered to you today, would you consider giving to the work of On Fire Radio? On Fire Radio is brought to you free online and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can give online, and you can also find out more about CMCC and our other ministries by going to www.cmcconline.org. Again, that's www.cmcconline.org. And we'd love to hear from you. You can send us a message from our website, you can send us a message from our Facebook, or you can post a comment from whatever platform you're listening to this radio show or on our YouTube channel and let us know how God is using this ministry to work in your life. And if you have a prayer request, we want to hear about that too. How can we pray with you? Please let us know. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.